Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Here we are at hour number one, having a candid conversation with the senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders, Bill Ingram. And Bill, tell all of our listeners across the country tonight where they can go and check out some of your work online.
Well, I am the senior NBA analyst for BasketballInsiders.com, so you can find us there. Our entire team moved over from our previous website back in January. And we're happy to say the whole team came. So basketballinsiders.com is where you find us. You can find me on Twitter at the Rocket Guy, and also usually hanging around an NBA arena somewhere in the Texas vicinity.
That's right, and always wearing red. I see you at the American Airlines Center. I'm like, Bill, what are you doing wearing red?
Well, when it's the Spurs and the Mavs, I try to appear
impartial.
You know, impartial, and so that means kind of looking for a color that now it happens to be the Rockets' colors.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's a rock. I'm just saying, you try to be impartial in this job.
Uh-huh. Okay, so talk to us about the big news obviously coming out this week in terms of with the Lakers. Who's going to fill that position?
Yeah, two things I'm addressing in the NBA Sunday, which is Sunday morning, the NBA Sunday. The first thing is the Lakers position, which is, we're hearing some names. Lionel Hollins has thrown his name, or at least his agent has thrown his name into the mix. And, of course, Steve Kerr is one of the big names that's being discussed for possibly the Knicks or the Lakers, the two highest profile jobs in the NBA in terms of coaching are both open. So all the available names, I'm sure, will be sorted through. But, to me, the biggest challenge facing whoever that person is going to be, really in both cities, but, targeting the Lakers here, is you're going to lose some games. I mean, that's a team that, Steve Nash, if he comes back, is not going to be, he really needs to be a role player kind of off the bench or maybe an assistant coach. Kobe Bryant, who knows? I mean, the guy is as dedicated, really more dedicated than anybody in the league when it comes to getting healthy and staying healthy. Incredible work ethic and incredible drive. But the reality is when you're 35, 36 years old and you've had the number of issues he's had, it's going to be tough for him to expect to play some kind of MVP caliber ball. And then you've got a wide open roster. The only two significant contracts on the roster for next year are Nash and Bryant. And there's not a plethora of great free agents out there. Basically, I could give the Lakers the top five free agents from this summer's draft free agency class, and they're not a playoff team. So, there's a long road ahead for the Lakers looking down the road to 2015, really, when the crop of free agents gets really good. But when you talk about adding, say the Lakers could get Carmelo out of New York, which probably is not going to happen, they're really not that much better. And, they're targeting Kyle Lowry. Kyle's great. I mean, he's going to be probably the number two free agent in the class this summer, but he loves Toronto. Say you get him to leave and he goes to Lakers. Are they a playoff team yet? No. So, tough road. That guy, whoever that is that takes that job, is going to have a lot of work to do. They're going to have to weather some losses in the interest of long-term rebuilding, and they're going to have to keep Kobe Bryant not happy, but at least you're going to have to balance the flack that you're going to take from him if you're losing, because he just doesn't handle losing well, does not, hates losing with a passion. So lots of challenges facing the next Lakers coach.
Well, a lot of challenges, and obviously the Lakers are in rebuild mode. So let me throw out a couple of names to you. Let's talk some hypotheticals. Why not a Derek Fisher? Why not a Kevin Ollie? I mean, we've seen what Jason Kidd's been able to do with Brooklyn.
True. However, that's not the Lakers. I could see Derek Fisher, honestly, because he's beloved in the city. Obviously, he's had a lot of great games in the playoffs, period, but for the Lakers, he's had last-second shots to advance them in the playoffs, and he's been a big part of their program. And honestly, that's somebody who maybe, if you're Derek Fisher, you don't have a coaching record, and you take that opportunity. But to me, if you're talking about the Lakers, this is the Lakers. You need an established coach. You need somebody that's going to be a big name, that's going to get the respect of, people. Kobe has played, Derek Fisher has played with some of those guys, and I don't know that that's the right thing. I think you need somebody who's going to have an authority position, who's going to be respected, who's going to command respect, not only from the players, but also from the media and the fans. It has to be a wow. There has to be some wow value. And while that's a short list, I have a hard time, certainly not Kevin Ollie, I have a hard time seeing Derek Fisher even on that list above, say, Steve Kerr, who would have some wow value. He's obviously played on championship teams with San Antonio, but long career. And then he was a front office guy, helped build a very, very good Phoenix Suns team as their general manager. You need somebody with that kind of cachet to their name to take that job, because, like I said, it's going to be very, very challenging.
The senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders is joining us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. That, of course, is Bill Ingram. And so, Bill, give us the pulse. What do you think on these first-round games? They've been very, very exciting and intense.
Well, they have, especially in the West, where everything is... if you're betting on Western Conference series, you probably lost some money in the first round already because you've seen the top seed take their lumps. The Spurs have taken some lumps from Dallas. We have the second seed on the verge of elimination. We have a Portland-Houston series that has recorded a record number of overtime. No series ever had four overtime games to start a series, and then the next game was very competitive, and now that series swings back to Portland. And all these series have been very competitive. Even the Warriors, who without Andrew Bogut have won a couple games from the Clippers. And, you know, it's a situation where every series has been very, very competitive. Whereas in the East, it's been the incredible disappearing Indiana Pacers has made the Eastern Conference playoffs basically a yawner because you're just waiting for the Heat to coast to the finals. Though I will be interested to see when they cross paths with the Washington Wizards. The Wizards have played some great basketball. So maybe there's hope that it might at least be an interesting series. But the rest, otherwise, the East has just been brutally boring, kind of like the regular season, brutally boring.
Absolutely. And, you know, tonight, of course, Dallas and Spurs, they're under in action and playing right now. What are your takeaways from how this whole series has played out?
Well, I think I've been watching, and these are two teams that I've watched. You know, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, I've probably watched more of their games than anybody ever anywhere, as far as all three.
Uh-huh.
I watch a lot of Spurs, Rockets, and Mavs. And I've been at a lot of Spurs-Mavs games, both regular season and playoffs. And these are two teams that, even though the personnel changes around the fringes, you know, Dirk and Duncan know each other as well as anybody and play each other very, very well. And Carlisle and Popovich certainly know what makes each other tick. What we've been waiting for is for the Spurs to play Spurs basketball, which is great ball movement, great spacing, knocking down open shots, creating open shots, and Tony Parker getting into the lane and looking like an MVP. We haven't seen a lot of that. Some of it's been forced by the Mavs. The Mavs have done a great job of spacing on their own and using their very, very quick guards to take advantage of the. They've got a speed advantage on the Spurs backcourt, even on Tony Parker. When you talk about Devin Harris playing vintage Devin Harris basketball now that he's finally healthy, Jose Calderon playing fantastic basketball, Monte Ellis has been incredibly good, and Carlisle is using that rotation to his advantage. The Spurs have struggled to contain them in the paint, and then they're dishing out, and the Mavs have been lights out from three-point range, which if that is a recipe for winning, the Mavs could come back and win the series.
Well, it's certainly been fascinating to watch, especially Game 3. I don't think I got any sleep that night after Vince Carter hit that winning three-pointer. We've been working some overtime. Bill Ingram has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Does a fantastic job. Check out his work online. He is the senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders. Bill, perhaps I'll see you on Sunday, okay?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.